Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It is wonderful to be with you for yet another episode. I'm joined with my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm looking forward to this show. We are going to continue talking about goodwill.
Yes.
So last week was the introduction. We are starting a new month as of last week, and we're going to spend this whole month talking about goodwill, and I'm sure we're going to come up with so much fodder for thought and pondering and hopefully for thoughts that will turn into actions, right, Dorothy?
Right. That's the whole point.
That is the whole point. So last week, we talked about goodwill. What is goodwill? We talked about being cooperative and this idea that goodwill is thinking of the common good and really not putting your own self-interest first, that it is kindness in action and that really it's for the future. So we left last week talking about ways that you could generate goodwill in your life. And this week we thought it would be interesting to talk about the challenges. Why is goodwill sometimes challenging? And last week, at the end of last week's show, we said that, you know, why not just try some random acts of kindness, pay it forward. And Dorothy, you said something so wonderful. You said, why not say to somebody that you really made my day with this action? And I put that to use last week. So I was, just share that little experience, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Well, I had a very lengthy conversation with my phone company, and it had to do with internet and a lot of changes that could potentially disrupt our service, and didn't even realize, and this is at the retreat center, didn't realize that it could permanently disrupt our service because our phone company doesn't want to supply DSL service to our little hill town in Massachusetts, and are looking for a bigger company to come in and lay all the infrastructure for fiber optics. So in a sense, it's not worth it to them anymore to supply new customers with DSL. And potentially through all these discussions, if we disrupted our service, we would have not had internet any longer. And it would have been very challenging. And after talking to so many people, one person came through. The last person I talked to said, hey, I'm seeing on this work order that your internet won't be renewed. And she went out of her way to do some research and said to me, potentially this change in your contract could really have some negative side effects, and these are those. And she laid it out to me, and I felt that was such goodwill, because certainly the company that she works for doesn't want to provide the service anymore. They see it in their own self-interest to sort of let every single customer go until something else changes. And she went out of her way, and I was so thankful. And I said, you not only made my day, you've made the difference in our business moving forward, and really wanted to see that she continue to make that extra effort to look out for customers and see through, this sort of red tape that would have otherwise been under the radar. So I appreciated your advice so much, and I really felt good. In my heart, I felt a connection to her. She was very thankful that I was thankful back, and it was just a little bit of a love fest after a very long period of feeling a little disgruntled. So it's interesting, goodwill, how it just lifts your spirit and it changes the mood. So it was lovely. So thank you for that advice.
That's great. That's a wonderful example, Steve. And, you know, in terms of challenges, part of the difficulty, I think, is that goodwill is not necessarily modeled for us. You know, a lot of communications are focused on, you know, our own desires, being first, you know, what's best for us individually. And goodwill really requires a detachment from that and a thinking about the other person, which clearly this service person was doing, was putting herself in your shoes. And that's, you know, for me, one of the ways that I think about goodwill, and acting from that perspective rather than just from personal benefit.
Yeah, and as you say that we don't see it so often, I would say that, you know, 9/10 of the time I was on this call was really not so pleasant and people not looking mm-hmm. out, just acting like sort of really wanting to just hurry this up and get me off the phone and not actually hear me. So when I finally found someone that would listen, boy, we really did great things. So indeed, one of those challenges is that it takes effort. It really takes effort. You've got to go beyond, you know, you sometimes have to go beyond what's comfortable for you or what's easy for you.
Well, you know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about moral compass, you know, when we were talking about right action. And to me, that's one of the issues here for goodwill, is that we need to be able to not be influenced by just doing whatever it is that everybody else around us is doing, but really be able to listen to our own ethical framework, our own moral compass in terms of what is going to move the situation forward for everyone involved.
Yeah. And certainly that takes effort. I think of a really simple instance of being the designated driver. mm-hmm. It's so simplistic, but while everyone else has the sort of freedom to revel, you have put these limitations upon yourself and so that they may do so. And so there's effort involved, but certainly there's great reward in that. And it is putting the goodwill and the health and the future really in that situation of everybody first and understanding that you can still have a good time being the designated driver. It's not saying it's sort of looking out for others and saying, well, I'll do my part so that the greater good is had.
I think another aspect of this, Steve, is the whole issue of forgiveness, which can be very challenging. And I know I've found it challenging in my life. If I feel that I've really been wronged by somebody else, it can be difficult to let that go. It's like I want to keep punishing them over and over again. But goodwill demands that we be able to forgive, that we be able to recognize our common humanity, that, you know, each of us makes errors or from time to time, and be able to understand that there's a certain frailty that we need to respect in others and be able to forgive, not necessarily forget, but be able to be compassionate and forgive. And that's, to me, a component of goodwill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the place of the heart, right? Forgiveness. And mm-hmm. so it takes some sort of, takes emotional maturity. It takes an alignment and some refinement of our personality to get to that place where we can forgive others who have done us wrong. We need to be able to see ourselves as human family. And that not only takes effort in the instance, but it takes sort of a commitment in life to raising one's awareness to that level of all of one's actions and all of one's thoughts and an attitude towards all of us being interconnected and equals.
Yes, and it's helped by seeing it modeled by others. Not that we always do that, but I mean, not that that's always possible. But again, I mean, I've referred to my parents a couple of times on this program, and I continue to be very grateful for the modeling that I saw in them. And I think it helped me. I just like to share one instance with our audience, Steve. When I was young, I was in boarding. We were in India, and I was in boarding school. And one of the girls in my class, when I was in elementary school, decided that she didn't like me. She didn't like that I was smart. And so she got all of the other girls to shun me, which would have been bad enough if I'd been a day scholar. But being a boarding student who was living with these people who were shunning me was extremely challenging. And what made it more challenging was that in the evening, when nobody could see them, different girls would come to me, kind of sneak over and ask for help on homework because they knew that I was top of the class and I could do that. Or some of them were homesick. In fact, the leader was homesick and would seek out some emotional support. So during the daytime, I was being shunned. And at night, I realized I had this choice. I could either be really kind of bitchy and angry and bitter, or I could, you know, operate from a position of goodwill, which is what my parents had modeled for me. And I was able to do that, and I think it made all the difference. I think I would have turned out to be a very different type of person if I had succumbed to the bitterness and the small retributions.
Well, and to also be assisting them, you know, with comfort and with helping them with their lessons. I mean, setting such a wonderful example, and again, without any expectation of personal gain, because certainly could have used that for some leverage, and that choice not to, I'm sure, left a lasting impression on your schoolmates. Wow, beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that, Dorothy. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the common good. That story is such a wonderful example of seeing the common good, not only amongst each other, but just in terms of education, getting a good education. How lovely. When we come back, let's talk about the common good.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with pride.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Son Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Son Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are talking about goodwill for this show and, in fact, for the entire month of June. And this episode, we're talking about why goodwill is challenging. And just before the break, Dorothy was sharing a wonderful story about some classmates who were, in a way, shunning her, not in a way, in every way, and then asking for help with studies and even some emotional support. I find that story just so wonderful and telling, and I would just love to hear a few more words, if you don't mind expanding a little more, Dorothy, because we've talked about goodwill requiring this focus on the common good, and at such a young age to feel sort of a camaraderie, even though it had to be coming from, you know, your own heart, from your own internal sense of connection, and what that would take to have the focus be on the common good must have been required quite a bit of effort when coming at you was not an example of that in any way. Would you like to say any more on that?
Sure, Steve. I'm not sure it was camaraderie. I think really one of the things that I learned very young, whether it was my own personality, whether it was, entirely from my parents. But I learned very young that I needed to be true to myself. You know, I needed, you know, that whole moral compass concept, you know, that there was a correct way to behave, and that was, I didn't have the term goodwill then, but that it was from that kind of place. And I learned a couple of things from that were very important, which to me are illustrations of how practicing goodwill helps you learn, you know, other things. One of the things I learned was to not believe stories that I heard about other people that were being shunned or bad-mouthed, because I knew what had happened to me and that what was being said about me was not accurate. And so that was a very helpful thing. But another thing that I learned was the importance of small gestures. First, in terms of what I was giving to other people, I mean, I knew that it made a difference to them, although in the light of day, they would not acknowledge that at all. But I remember very clearly the day that this all ended, when a classmate of mine came up to me on the playground during recess and started talking to me. And I looked at her and I said, "You're going to get in trouble for talking to me." And she said, "I don't care. I think this is stupid. It's gone on long enough."
Wow.
And her willingness to talk to me just broke the whole thing apart. It just, you know, and of course people went on as though nothing had ever happened, which was not the case. But her willingness to talk to me made a difference to me. And I think my willingness to be helpful to others is part of what laid the groundwork for her being willing to step forward and talk to me. So it's,
and was it's she one of the ones that you helped directly?
I did help her with homework.
Oh, wow. But, so it really
but
is.
For a year, she didn't speak to me during the day for a year, even though I was helping her with homework. Was one of the people I was helping. So it's just, I think, really important. You've used the concept of planting seeds. I think it's really important to remember that change comes in these very small gestures, that it really makes a difference. It makes a difference how we talk to other people. makes a difference whether we maintain eye contact with them, whether we take the time and effort to establish rapport. All of these are bits and pieces of goodwill, and they all make a difference.
Yes. Awareness. I just keep hearing awareness in this conversation, mm-hmm. that it's so necessary to generate awareness of first oneself and awareness of the other. And just what a fine example of pure selfless giving, you know, in that story. And I appreciate your sort of distinction of this idea of that it was really not about camaraderie, that really it was just following your own moral compass, your sense of self, which is somebody's asking of me and I have this to give and I will do that because otherwise it would be against my true nature. So wonderful. I love that example. And, I would say that whole idea of pushback, from the group, you know, we often, perhaps maybe even our own moral compass, we feel thrown off or that an action may not be well for us. But I know so many people will just go with the group. You know, it's like herd thinking and group thinking. Makes me think of my brother when he was in college. He was part of a fraternity that stood up to hazing and really laid the groundwork for making it that it was not acceptable and actually punishable by being expelled from the University of Pittsburgh when he was the president of his fraternity. And, you know, when you think of fraternities, goodness, that go back this history of hazing and how easy it is to default to say, well, I went through this, so I'm going to put that upon somebody else. I'm going to enjoy myself. But he didn't find any of it enjoyable. So sort of to stand up, it sometimes doesn't feel good. You know, it doesn't, you know, you're going to get pushback. And so it can be complicated.
Right. That's right. That is going to be difficult. And we talked earlier in this program about, you know, what's modeled for us. I feel compelled to mention what happened at the NATO meeting because I think that it's such a stark example, NATO being one of the political institutions, whether you think it's perfect, I don't think it's any institution is perfect, but it is an example of countries agreeing to come to each other's aid. It's a kind of a country-level goodwill pact, if you will. Mm-hmm. And ironically, the only time that Article 5, which is that absolute commitment to come to somebody else's aid, has been invoked was on behalf of the U.S. after 9/11. So then we see President Trump going to the NATO meetings, refusing to say out loud that he does support that Article 5, making it very clear that it's U.S. first, you know, and that he's only interested in helping others who will put his own or the U.S.'s own self-interest first. And so now we have the statement from Merkel that Europe can no longer rely on the goodwill of the U.S. And I think that's just terribly sad.
Yes, yes. To be a world leader, and as you say, a world leader who has actually used this article, the only time ever in its history, to not take the lead and do what's right and support in unanimously to be the leader and say without a doubt we are taking the lead and we will be there for you as you've been there for us. And it seems to just be supporting this trend of sort of isolationist, you know, that each country's for themselves. And it's a sad moment indeed.
So it's the opposite of goodwill, right? It's the opposite of the focus on the common good. And I think it's important for us to be alert to these signs of erosion of goodwill. We can't just assume that goodwill is operating. We can't just assume that humanity has reached a maturation point where that the priority of the common good will be automatic. We're absolutely not there as a human family. And so we need to be very careful.
Yes, and what's interesting is paying attention to what's happening and noticing for signs of erosion. It also needs a balance. You know, I think of the 24-hour news cycle and how we usually see that which is the most dramatic and that which is the most negative. And at the same time, we need to balance that with examples of goodwill, with seeing examples of goodwill and celebrating examples of goodwill. And it seems that that seems to be missing, at least in our news cycle, where it used to, there used to be a balance of good stories, at least in my recollection, of examples of humanity doing the right thing. And it now seems that, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. That seems to be the slogan that is at the forefront of their choices of putting what's on air. I know we need to be aware, but it's also a matter of balancing, you know, so recognizing the goodness in humanity so you can be inspired as well.
Well, inspired and also learn, because we've talked before on this show about rehearsal, you know, prior rehearsal. Anticipating situations that you might be in, for example, with inappropriate jokes or other more serious actions, to rehearse and think about what is it that I can do, how is it that I could handle that kind of situation.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I think it would be wonderful if we got a balance, even if it was 60% bleeds, 40% goodwill, but
yeah.
Lots and lots of examples of how to manage challenging situations. It was interesting, you know, when there was that episode in Portland with the Good Samaritans being stabbed to death, who were trying to help the young women. There was one news article that I saw that outlined. What are options if you see yourself in that, if you see that kind of thing happening, what are your choices about how you can respond? How can you keep yourself safe while also intervening? And you can't always keep yourself safe. But I thought it was great that there was an article. They talked about 5 or 6 or 7 different options, not just, you know, do this right, wrong, you know. Dualistic options.
Right. But taking the time to put that together, and I wish everybody would see that, to have some perspective and be able to run that through their mind. What would I do in this situation, and how can I protect myself and everyone around? Yes, thoughts into action. So, Dorothy, well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I'd love to hear about some of your humanitarian work. I know you've done quite a bit, and some of the challenges perhaps that you faced along the way. So, if that sounds good, we'll do that when we get back.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio as we continue our discussion on goodwill and some of the challenges of goodwill. We've talked quite a bit about planting the seed and about change taking time. So certainly that can be a challenge to goodwill in that the results are not immediately obvious. The premise of goodwill is that you do something today and the benefits are received in the future. That's one aspect. Another aspect is that it's not only for oneself. It makes me think of Bruce Lipton. Bruce Lipton is he is a scientist and he's a writer and an amazing man who did work on epigenetics, which is the theory that our environment actually can change the structure of our DNA. And when he first said that, people just literally laughed him out of the room. Scientists were saying, that is just the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard. You were born with a code, and that code is yours for your lifetime. And diseases are yours because it's pre-written in the code. Not all of them, but, you know, genetic diseases. And he said, no, that the environment can change them. And he did experiments. He showed them, even showed them the examples. And they said, no way. And look, 25 years later, each and every one of those individuals came back and they now are all publishing papers on epigenetics. It is respected and it is factual. And he could have just thrown in the towel. You know, he could have said, all right, my peers think I'm crazy. They're laughing me out of the room. But he stuck with it. So these things take time. And often there is a tide or there is, there are ideas that are in place. There are thought forms that are quite heavy surrounding what might seem like a pioneering idea. And so that brings us to some wonderful work that my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle, has done. Dorothy, we don't mention this, I think, often enough, some of the work that you've done. I mean, the list is quite long, but one in particular that I'd love to talk about is the homophobia scale. I know you did some amazing work that led to great changes over time. And perhaps you would be best, since you're right here with us, to tell us about the Riddle scale and perhaps some of the challenges that you met along the way.
Sure. Thanks, Steve. I have the good fortune to be on the task force of the American Psychological Association at the point in time in the early 1970s when the whole issue of whether homosexuality was a disease or not was being examined. And we were one of the groups that was critical in getting that position changed so that it was clear that that homosexuality was not a disease and should not be included in the diagnostic manual in that way. And at that time, I also, I was doing a lot of social change work, and I became aware that there was there was a real need for work on homophobia, that, you know, that people were nervous, they were agitated. I was living at that point in Arizona. There was conflict between the police and sheriff's officers and the public around this issue. There were also issues that churches were struggling with. And so in that process, as I listened to people and as I was invited to do workshops, I became aware that there was a range of attitudes and that if people could understand what they were and why they were challenging, that that could help shift the way in which people behaved. So, and one of the driving forces for me was to tackle the whole idea, the people that were saying, well, we're just all human together, there's really no issue. So in other words, the dramatic and sometimes deadly consequences of being seen as homosexual, whether gay man, lesbian, whatever, that was invisible to them. They didn't see that. So I developed what became known as the Riddle Scale, and I used it, and it was used a little bit, and then it just kind of dropped off. I went on, I did other work, and I was really kind of saddened by the fact that this hadn't had a longer life, because I thought it really could be helpful. And then, Steve, 25 years later, I started getting all of these emails. I don't even know how people tracked me down at that point, but emails asking for permission to use the scale, to cite the scale. I discovered that the scale had been taken and modified to address a number of different issues where people were stereotyped in different negative ways. And that continues to this day. I, you know, about once or twice a month, I get an email from somebody saying, we're using it in this way, or it's been so helpful to us, or can I use it? Can I modify it in this way? So that was a good lesson to me, that just because it seems like something that you've put out there has been forgotten, overlooked, discounted, it doesn't mean that it won't resurface.
And I would say that it took society time to come around on this subject. You know, you if you look at the scale itself and you think back to that time, that the late 70s, and if you look at the Riddle Scale for the listeners, the scale goes from there are categories, and it sort of speaks of levels at which you may where you may lie upon this scale. And it goes from repulsion, if I can just go through them quick, if you don't mind, sure. Dorothy, repulsion, pity, tolerance, acceptance, and it moves up to support, admiration, appreciation, and even nurturance. I would say that as a society, that if some people were to look at that back then and look at the descriptions within that in the context of homosexuals, that to say you not only support, but you admire, you appreciate, and you would nurture a homosexual, that was cutting edge. I mean, that was for some people, I'm sure, even for some people, just almost blasphemous.
Yeah, it was a real stretch. It was
a real stretch. And not at all so, today, though, Dorothy. I mean, you look at this today and you see how far we've come, and people just were not ready for it. But goodness, you put that out there. You set that precedence, and you hope that is the highest oscillating vibration and people resonate to it and rise to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there really, is a certain amount of patience that's involved. And part of it is that I'd like to name it as detachment. I mean, detachment is a very important spiritual concept.
Yes.
But being able to detach from whether or not you will ever get recognition for it, whether or not it will ever, you know, take life in the way that you saw it, that you see it, I think that's a critical aspect of goodwill, is that you do it for the greater good. That was my intention as I put it out there. And whether or not I ever got credit for it, whether or not it ever went anywhere, I would have liked that at the time, But right. that wasn't actually the driving motivation.
Well, and it's so wonderful that you brought that up, because being detached from the outcome, because if you stay attached to the outcome and perhaps it's taking more time than you personally anticipated, you then become fixated on the outcome that has not happened. And you sort of put energy around that and you sort of bring that into the reality, whereas detaching allows it to have its life on its own, for it to take its time to come to, you know, the time it needs to come to fruition and be applied. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, you know, if I just would say personally, that was, I was 13, 14 at that time, 12, 13, 14 in the 70s. And personally, I went to the state library to look up what is a homosexual, because I was looking up for myself, and to read right. that, to read that this was diagnosed as a mental disorder was just felt awful to me. You know, it was horrible. So what amazing work that you see the changes that have come around since then. And thank goodness both my whole family was very high on the Riddle scale, which was great. So anyway, wonderful, wonderful work there, Dorothy. I appreciate you. I appreciate you talking about that. And I hope even in future shows, we'll bring up some of the work that you've done. But maybe just a sentence, you know, did you get some pushback from your peers on that? We just have a minute, but I'd love to hear, like, was that an aspect, or did you feel as a researcher that you were doing this work, like you really once again stayed focused on this is your truth, you know, this truth needs to be out there, and any kind of peer pressure or from society, that was not going to affect you?
Well, that was at a time when attitudes, I'm not sure the attitudes have gone away, but they were expressed much more directly. And as a result of my work on homophobia and my speaking on homophobia, I lost the opportunity to adopt a child.
Mm, yeah.
Because I was about to adopt, and a woman in the community heard me speak and called the state authorities and said this person should never have the opportunity to be with children. And that was the end of it. Boom, right there.
Right. But it sort of makes that work, you realize the importance of this work then, right?
Exactly.
Right. Well, it speaks to, you know, creating the world that you want to live in. We've said that before, you know, in right action, mm-hmm. that act, you know, act in a way that would support, act in the way you would like to see others. Love thy neighbor. And it says that we have to respect this earth, even beyond that we have to create the world in which we want to live in, and the world in which we'd like to see. So, Dorothy, I know you've done even some amazing work on talking about the planet Earth as a living being. And that's another thing I'd love to go to a break and talk a bit about that, about the future, like really goodwill is all about the future, and it's got to extend even beyond humanity and towards all that Earth encompasses. So we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, I'd love to talk about that for a bit.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuOS.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundations Retreat, attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature, or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the deepening retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Justice Welling. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spirituald.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Just before the break, we were talking about planting seeds for the future, about goodwill and some of the challenges of goodwill. We've been talking about that for the whole show. And really, it takes vision and visionaries and pioneers, people who are able to see the future and vision a world that is expanded and that we are building upon and that we are expanding and not contracting, that we're actually creating a better world for generations to come. And so, goodness, how can we talk about that, Dorothy, right, without talking about the environment? I mean, certainly, I think of one of the most simple choices in goodwill that we all can relate to was this move to not use plastic bags. I mean, it's so simple to go to the grocery store and have them throw everything in a plastic bag, but to say no and set an example to everybody in line that I've taken the time and I've thought this through and I'm bringing my bags with me for you to put my groceries in or my purchases in. It's so simple, but it helps our planet so much. I think we can all relate to that. And I know you've just done so much research and so much work on the earth and protecting this living thing. That is the earth. Yeah?
That's right, Steve. But before we go there, we haven't said anything about who we are in our organization.
I know. So we got carried away.
That's right. I'm just going to mention that this is an intentional collaboration between Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. I'm with the School for Esoteric Studies. We provide discipleship training through study, meditation, and service, and you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net, and you can find out about Spirit Fire at spiritfire.com, right, Steve?
Wonderful, yes. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I just wanted, as a footnote, to say that I grew up in India, and I went back to India, it must be 8 or 10 years ago now, and only to find that one of the communities I had lived in had just passed a city ordinance to not use paper plastic bags.
Beautiful.
That was before anything had happened here in North America that I was aware of. And it created a small cottage industry of women making cloth bags for people to take for their groceries and other shopping. So that was really interesting.
Nice.
Yeah. And Steve, I'm just going to dive in because this whole topic of goodwill beyond humanity is so critical. You know, when we think about goodwill, we think about a focus on the common good. It has to go beyond, or it has to challenge us in terms of our assumptions that we're the only intelligent being here. And there are a number of strands of this. In 2001, 1,500 scientists from over 100 countries issued an Amsterdam Declaration on Global Change that said, in part, the Earth system behaves as a single self-regulating system comprised of physical, chemical, biological, and human components, and went on to underscore the different ways in which the Earth, which some people refer to as Gaia, shows intelligence and self-awareness. The very fact that with all the polluting behavior that we as humans contribute, that Gaia has been able to keep the atmosphere at a constant composition and kept the salinity or saltiness of the oceans at about 3.4%, which is critical to marine life. So it has its own systems of balance, although I think we're really pushing that a lot. And there are some countries like Bolivia that have put into their constitutions that Mother Earth is an intelligent, sentient being. Bolivia has a ministry of Mother Earth. We can go into some more of those details. But the most critical piece here, which I know we're going to spend some time on next week, Steve, is recognizing that that our traditional attitude has been that anything that's not human is an object. And it's there for our pleasure, you know, whether it's we think we can do whatever we want with the physical environment, or with animals, with plants. But we look at it entirely from the perspective of our own use, which is an objectification, right? And in fact, what we're dealing with is other sentient, intelligent beings that just happen to not be human.
Yes. And we need to come to see ourselves and as an extension of the Earth. You know, as well.
As one of the extensions, right?
Yeah. But I mean, as opposed to, for our use, that it's this thing that's at our disposal, you know, but that it's you know, do unto others that it is an other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Indeed. I often, a lot of our conversations around this have shifted some of the words that I use. I know I have tended to often say that the earth is our stage lifetime after lifetime and really caring for it and considering it. But I've come to realize that there's a bit of an objectification there as well. Mm-hmm. And I've come to sort of ponder that a bit. To not sort of only, you know, sort of use the look at the Earth as a stage and go beyond that.
Well, both Bolivia and Ecuador have put into their constitutions rights for Earth, for Mother mm-hmm. Earth. And I'll just give you some examples. The right to pure air, clean air and pure water, the right to balance, to not be affected by mega infrastructure projects, the right to not be polluted, the right to not have its cellular structure modified or genetically altered, the right to continue vital cycles and processes. So the implications of these are actually quite profound if we think about it. And then we have, if we just stay in that physical realm, we have at least three rivers that have been granted personhood. And I'm just going to plant this seed. We're going to come back to it next week. But the idea of personhood for non-humans is a legal concept that because in the law, you're either a person or you're a thing. corporations, interestingly enough, are legal persons. They have rights. Animals, sentient animals, like dolphins and whales, are considered things. They don't have rights. So these three rivers, there's one in New Zealand and two in India, have been declared legally as persons. Isn't that interesting?
It is so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and they've had custodians appointed that are responsible for ensuring their well-being. In other words, speaking for them and making sure that they have the rights that they are entitled to.
And it speaks so much of developing our senses. I mean, can you imagine representing a river and having to really come into communication and listen to this river's needs, even beyond what we would know intellectually, but to sense that and be in communication? I mean, we would be served well by developing that sense. And I know next week we're going to talk about that quite a bit. I look so forward to it into talking about personhood of non-human entities. I know we're going to talk about the mineral kingdom and the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom, all of those kingdoms and the earth itself as a person. It's going to be fascinating. I look forward to it. Beautiful, wonderful points, Dorothy. I so appreciate, goodness, a life of research. You've done so much in that regard. Much appreciation there. So we're at the end of the show. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. May you ponder goodwill and put it into your day-to-day. If anybody has any questions about this show or even next show when we talk about personhood, send us an email to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. Dorothy, I appreciated this conversation. It was lovely. Thank you.
It was great, Steve, and I look forward to next week as well.
Wonderful. Thanks again, listeners. We will see you next week when we continue the talk on goodwill.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.